what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
It is 9:08. I couldn't agree with Linus more. That is what Christmas is truly all about. I have loved that for as long as I can remember. You know, it was really controversial when CBS put it on, and they weren't even sure they were going to play it because Linus told the true story of the meaning of Christmas. And even up to an hour before it aired, they were thinking about pulling it because they felt that there was just such danger in doing this. And then when they finally thought, well, maybe we will pull it, they realized it was too late and they couldn't actually do it. And it has been for 60 years one of the most popular features on television in all of television history and beloved by everybody. When CBS did this back, I think it was 1964, when CBS did this, after it ran, the audience just went wild. They reacted in such a positive and wonderful manner. And again, the good book says a little child will lead us. Well, this may be a cartoon child, but he certainly led us in that moment. It's 9:09. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Rocco Severino, Diane Campbell in the house. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I got your wrong mic on. There we go. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ray.
Diane, so nice to see you. So are you guys fans of that Peanuts?
Very much so.
I am. That's my favorite. It reminds me of my mom every year. We used to watch that every year. That and the Thanksgiving one also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it.
The Great Pumpkin, actually. That's the Halloween one. That's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you know, again, what is the Great Pumpkin really about? The faith of a little child. Is this going to be the most sincere pumpkin patch and the Great Pumpkin will appear? And it's the faith of a little child. And there's a Charles Schulz was a very a faith-filled man, and he had a lot of meaning in everything that he did. Sometimes it was really subtle, because, you know, you mostly think of Halloween with scary ghosts and all that kind of stuff. But Linus had this childlike faith that something good was going to happen. You got to love it.
A little Linus in all of us, I think.
Yeah. I know there is in me. I may be old, and I may be fat, but I have never lost the magic of Christmas. I've just never lost it. Never. My dad always said, as long as you believe Santa Claus will come, this will be my 63rd Christmas. He's come every year. And we never lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas, which is, in fact, the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ. But I've never lost Christmas magic. It just is, it envelops me this year, every year, this time of year.
Yeah, it's always more fun, I think. You know, now you have kids and grandkids to share it with. And there's always a good reason to get excited about Christmas. And I'm still lucky enough to have young children, so so fun every year, and just watching them wake up on Christmas morning and really learn about, you know, all the parts of Christmas, like you said, the true meaning of Christmas, and watching them learn to give their things to folks less fortunate, or for them to ask, you know, to do certain acts of kindness around this time of year, you know, restores a little bit of your faith in humanity that you might be doing something right. So
yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And this is not a shameless plug for my new book, but I have always believed that Santa Claus, if you embrace Santa and the imagination and the magic of Santa Claus, you are not diminishing the birth of the Savior, because I have always believed Santa Claus is one of God's great ambassadors. The original St. Nicholas, as you know, used to deliver gifts to children to be kind and also to remind them of the gift that God gave us in the birth of Jesus Christ. And And that's why I wrote this new book, Carter Finds Christmas, because I want parents to understand that you don't have to leave Santa out of this equation, as long as you focus on why we really celebrate Christmas.
Where can folks find that book, Ray?
It's coming out next week.
Oh, awesome.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Do you have a drop date?
I'll know at 11 a.m. for sure.
Okay.
I'm having a phone call. The publisher is out in Salem, Oregon. I think it's Salem. They're out in Oregon somewhere. I've never been to Oregon, so it's somewhere in Oregon.
Now, will it be available in stores or hard copies?
Hard copies. It'll be soft and hard copies. And there's also Amazon is going to put out an e-book, apparently.
Oh, awesome.
But it'll be on Amazon, and it'll be on Target.com and Walmart.com.
Oh, so ready to read to the kids this Christmas.
Yes.
100%. I had the privilege of previewing it, and I'm sure the ebook is going to be beautiful, but what's really lovely is the illustrations as well as the message. It's such a beautiful book that you're going to want more than one.
I look forward to reading it to my children.
You might be sending one down to the Tampa area.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good
idea.
We could do that. We could certainly do that. But, yeah, I talked a little bit about it this morning. The illustrators, I never actually spoke with them. I only went through the publisher.
Amazing.
And they, I was talking to Dee Dee about it yesterday and the day before. And if I had been sitting there whispering in their ear as they drew every line, it couldn't have come out any better.
They
and
got you.
Yeah. They got it. Well, they got the story.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe they're
and
people of
vision,
faith.
And your vision, though. They got your vision.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It makes me believe they're people of faith, because some of the things they did with the illustrations, I just have to believe they're people of faith. I can't. I don't know how they could have done it without it.
I hope you get to talk to them and meet them someday.
Yeah, yeah. I do, too. Yeah, because we'll see what happens. It is literally, to be honest with you, I've written, this is my sixth book that I've completed. The other five were done in different ways than this, but the publisher actually picked this one up. I've never experienced this before, and I didn't even realize, but it's going to be sold all over the world. And they asked me about the Middle East, and I didn't want to be disrespectful because the Middle East is Jewish and Muslim, and I didn't want to be disrespectful because this is a Christian story.
Yeah.
So I asked them what they thought, and they said, well, typically, the distributor in the Middle East rejects books like this anyhow, so I chose not to do it there. But, it goes on sale in Australia next Thursday, I think. It's just so crazy. I mean, we'll see.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I said this sincerely, and I mean it. I don't care if I sell a single book. I wrote this book 7 years ago for my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law, Bailey, and my son, Connor, so that they would understand that you can embrace the magic of Christmas without diminishing the birth of the Savior. And so I want to give one to Carter, and that's all I really care about. And if everybody else gets it, that's great too. Don't misunderstand me, but giving one to Carter is what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy. Anyhow, I think Christmas is such, and I know it's gotten commercialized, and I know everybody talks about that, and I get it, and we love to focus on the negative. But there's so much good at Christmas. There's so much kindness at Christmas. I have always witnessed people that maybe are grumpy the rest of the year. They're not grumpy this time of year. You know, they're kinder. They do things for people. They hold a door open that they might not even thought about. You know, simple things. And one of the things we taught our kids was that simple acts of kindness may not seem like much to you, but it may mean everything to the recipient.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, you deal in political commentary, obviously, Ray. And
oh, good Lord, yes.
There's been a lot of divisiveness, obviously, surrounding the election and, you know, and to be quite honest, over the last 8 years. But I think, you know, and I probably think you guys would agree, the world we live in every day is very different than what I think people want you to believe. Take this for an example. You know, Ray saw the video, was touched by it. Yeah. You know, here I am 4 days later. On your radio show talking about Harper and her cause, people from, you know, every political party, every different walk of life, have sent money, have sent prayers, have sent messages. You know, nobody asked before they sent the money to Harper if she was a Democrat or a Republican, or, you know, what her parents believed or didn't believe. So I think, you know, I think the greater good is still out there. And I think people are still good. I think, you know, you watch a lot of media and you listen to a lot of stuff that wants you to believe otherwise. But through this experience, especially with Harper, that I've realized that, you know, people, they really don't care about, you know, who you vote for. They really care about who you are. And, you know, at Christmas time, I think, like Ray said, you're seeing that come out a lot more. And I know with this cause for Harper, I'm certainly, you know, loving what I'm seeing. So,
yeah, I know when my daughter Elizabeth was in the hospital for 26 days at Barbara Bush, when we'd come home, well, I would come home. Dee Dee did not come home. But we had, you know, we had three other children who were older than her, and somebody had to take care of them. And I would come home and there would be food on the steps. One lady knitted her a beautiful white sweater so that she would have something warm to wear in the hospital. And our neighbor next door, who we were friends with, they came in and they did her laundry and cleaned her house. We literally ate dinner. Applebee's had not been open very long, and we live in Westbrook, so we would ride right by it. So I did not want to go home and cook dinner and clean dishes, and particularly, you know, wanted to spend as much time as we could with Elizabeth in the hospital. And so we stopped and had dinner in Applebee's every single night. And at one point, one of the people said, "So we're glad to have you here, but you're here every single night. What's going on?" And I said, "Well, my daughter's been in Barbara Bush." And the people at Applebee's rallied around us. When we would walk in, they would make sure they came up and greeted us. "How's Lizzie doing?" And just the kindness to people that, you know, you may think, well, what does that mean? You know, it meant everything.
Everything.
It meant everything. And Diane, I know you have dealt with some stuff with your beautiful man, Jeff. And I know you know exactly what that's all about.
Our first grandchild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what that's all about. Yeah. So, yeah.
Angels walk on the earth.
They do.
And they showed Jeff. They showed me when Colby was in Boston. When Colby was in Boston, they shared the whole family. They took really good care of all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that I know that has gone through some difficulty, great struggle, or even tragedy, the one thing they always say in the aftermath is the kindness of others. And, you know, like I said, we've witnessed it here. Dee Dee and I, yeah, I know we weren't born here, but we've never felt like outsiders. We've always been embraced. The people here are just the best. They are the most kind and generous. And you know what I love about Mainers the most? They can be in one of the biggest arguments or disputes about something, but if something happens, it's set aside without a word, and they come running.
Yeah, several people have sent in donations, and I know those people don't agree with everything I think. So,
yeah.
Again, people just putting their, you know, their feelings aside and doing, you know, what's right, in my opinion. I've had folks that I played Little League with that I haven't spoken to since that have Venmo'd me donations for Harper. Mm-hmm. You know, folks on what I know are the other side of the political aisle from me have sent in donations for Harper. So, you know, I think, like you said, at the holiday season, and especially dealing with childhood cancer or any cancer for that matter, it really, you know, can bring people together. So if there is a positive to fighting a battle like this, it is the community that you see, the people that you realize you have around you. You realize how lucky you are to live where you live and be associated with the people you're associated with. You know, like you, Ray, happened to run into you this summer at Travis Mills Golf Tournament, struck up a conversation, and now here I am on the radio again, yeah, talking about Harper and using your platform for good. So just awesome stuff, and you know, you're seeing a lot more of it now that the holidays are here, which is awesome.
You know, and you never know how God works. And I know I talk a lot about God on the air, and I know some people get tired of that, but I never get tired of talking about God. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father, and I will never deny the Father. Never. You never know how God works. My wife, Dee Dee, was in a terrible car accident when she was 19. She was driving her brother to school, and on the way home, she fell asleep. She'd been burning the candle at both ends. She fell asleep at the wheel. It was very early in the morning. Morning traffic had not yet started, so it wasn't like there was a dense traffic. But she fell asleep at the wheel on I-75, 65 miles an hour, and hit a steamroller head-on in a Toyota Tercel. The man, there weren't many people around because it was very early in the morning, and the man that came to her aid, he had to pull her out of the car, and he just kept saying, "Please don't sue me, please don't sue me, please don't sue me," because you know how our society is. But he had to help her. He had to get her out of that car. The officer thought she was dead. He filled out a report. He thought she was dead. How do you survive that? And I don't know if Dee Dee's ever asked God this question. But, and I didn't know her at the time, just so we're clear. I met her on the back end when she was having one of her last surgeries. But I often wondered why the best person I've ever known had to go through that. And we found out God worked in mysterious ways. Her parents had divorced, and unfortunately it had been a bitter divorce that had divided the family. And Dee Dee's accident set all of that aside, and the family came together, and the family healed. God used her tragedy to bring her family back together. And to this day, 40 years later, that family is very close, love each other, hang out together. But they were all very divided over the divorce, and God used the power of the accident to bring her family back together. You never know what God's purpose is. And sometimes it's really hard to understand. It's hard to understand how a six-year-old girl named Harper could have cancer. But we don't know how God's going to use that. And I believe that. I believe it as much as I believe I'm talking to the two of you.
Yeah, I certainly believe that too. And you know, pray every day that it's in a positive way and it inspires other people. And it's all we can do.
Yeah, it is all we can do. Oh, you got something to say? I can see it.
I did not know that about Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fell asleep, snapped a telephone pole.
Wow.
Coming back from the airport when I was a flight attendant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she was 19 years old.
I walked away. I got out of the car.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah, she broke up, I don't even know how many bones. In fact, when I met her, which was a few years later, the surgery she had was to take some of the metal rods out of her body that really pieced her together. And she lost her spleen and but, you know, God used that tragedy to bring her family together. But it just also speaks to the character of Dee Dee Grizzard Richardson, who was resilient in the face of all that. It took over a year for her to heal. Mm. And, you know, some of her brothers played tricks on her, even though she was hurt. And one of her oldest brother, who's younger, she's the oldest child. Well, you may have met Gus through Mary Margaret and John. You know Mary Margaret and John Cummings,
I do.
Right? Yeah, you may have met Gus. He's still a prankster at the age of 50-something. And so Gus would put Dee Dee in situations where the wheelchair would flip over just to see if she could get back in and flip it back over and get back in.
I have sisters, so I can understand that.
Yes. So, you know, but, and it wasn't mean-spirited. It was just Gus being Gus. And, you know, we all laugh about it. And so you never know, but it speaks to the character of my wife. She's the most extraordinary human I've ever met.
We love her.
Yeah. Well, it's hard not to.
Yeah.
And we got a break. We'll be right back. At ABC Maine, they don't just build buildings, they build people. ABC can get you on the right path to a successful career in construction. Build your own path with ABC. For more information, email Sherry at abcmaine.org.